Welcome to the road to growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with team lead of the Enriquez Group, Realtor Vinny.
Hi, Real Truth listeners. Today we got Jackie, realtor, real estate coach. Her book, was it $4 in your pocket or what's the name of the title of it? I think $4.
So the book it's called The $4 Story. That is, as told in the book, Ignite the Hunger in You.
The, who's the other one? Have you ever listened to, the Dwayne, The Rock Johnson's thing where he had like $6, I think, in his pocket?
I haven't.
$6 and some change. And so I think he has a production company at $6. That just popped in my head when you're saying $4. I was like, okay, he said $6. You know, so he had a little more than you at the bottom right there. That's good.
Well, then he has a lot more than me today. I promise you that.
So, walk the audience through how much today is, I guess, practicing real estate compared to teaching real estate in kind of like your day-to-day.
Sure. Yeah. So currently I'm a real estate agent in Northern Arizona, and I lead a team of 6 agents and a transaction coordinator. And we've been top producers for the last 5 years running. And I also coach real estate agents. I lead our agent success program for Realty One Group Mountain Desert, which is our new agent training where we pair them with mentors. And then I coach them on a weekly basis. And then I also do coaching for experienced agents. That's more away from my brokerage and just my own thing. So I got a couple irons in the fire.
What do you find easier, more feeling, newer agents or more experienced agents coaching them?
I love working with the newer agents because I think that in our industry, you go to real estate school and you honestly, they don't teach you how to be a realtor. They don't teach you how to be an entrepreneur, which is what you're doing when you get your real estate license. You're not anybody's employees. You're opening your own business. And so I really love working with them and helping them in that way. But I think my overall juice comes from helping agents who know the game, they know what they're doing, but they're on the real estate roller coaster where their commissions, you know, they come in, they get money and then they're down and they're broke and then they have money and then they're broke. And so I really love helping them get off that commission roller coaster and get into a consistent flow of business with a healthy work-life balance, because I think that's what's missing in our industry.
Yeah. I mean, I think you see some realtors that, get that check, party it up. Other ones that are grinders, right? So it's finding that for sure, that balance. And I know that we're right now having this conversation end of March. A lot of fun stuff have been going on in the media. I know we didn't talk about this throwing on there. Any thoughts? Again, things can change on a weekly, monthly basis. So when you're listening to the audio, things could change. And Jack, any thoughts?
Well, my top thought that I have after this NAR settlement comes out, I promise you that what I'm about to say will not change. And that is that our media sources are awful. So I just think it's so important for everyone to remember that when you watch any news stories, not just about this NAR settlement, but about anything, that the media's job is not at all to discuss the news of the day. That's not their job. Their job is to create content that attracts eyeballs so that they can sell advertising and subscriptions. That's their job. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed a big trend, especially since the COVID lockdowns. And I call it gotcha interviewing, where they'll bring on a guest and then you can see that the media anchor is like just looking for a way to get a gotcha so that they can get a really good news bite. And then all of a sudden everything blows up. So when the news hit of the NAR settlement, true to form, the media grabbed onto that with so much disinformation. The way that they pitched up this story was so egregiously wrong. And so I think it's really important that if you're a real estate agent listening to this right now, you've got to know the facts of what's going on. And to your point, Vinny, those are going to be changing on kind of a weekly basis until everything is settled. But you have to know the facts of what's going on, but you also have to be able to properly convey your value. Unfortunately, the way that the media grabbed onto this was by making us sound like, oh, as a realtor, you don't even need them. They don't earn their money. They don't know what they're talking about. And I'll say one other thing about this. The irony of this lawsuit to me is hilarious because, Vinny, you and I both know that we do a lot of things for our clients, but one of the top things we bring to the table is to help guide them through a very intricate transaction that could have a lot of legal ramifications. And we help them navigate those waters so that they don't face a future lawsuit. And so now they took that expertise to try and keep them away from a lawsuit. And they did what? They put together a lawsuit. So, I mean,
and for people listening, we'll get off topic. I just want to kind of chime in for a quick second. Yeah. In California, in San Diego, more hyper-focused, from this time, March, to last 2023 March, it's roughly about 50% of people that have their license. It's more than that, because we have 22,000 realtors, and only, so it's a lot more than that. So, and we only had 6,000 did one piece of business.
Yeah.
Right. So to your point, I agree. And that's what I strive for. And I believe that's what Jackie strives for. And there's a lot of realtors that aren't doing business out there. So I think a bad experience, right, can give a bad taste to people. So I think in the end, this settlement is actually going to be better because it's going to weed out a lot of people in the business.
I agree with you on that wholeheartedly, Vinny. I do. I think that it is a disservice that if you get your real estate license and you only sell one or two pieces of property a year, I think, if you're not paired up with a seasoned agent who does this on a full-time basis, like through a mentor program or in a team situation, then I just don't see how you can really be putting your best foot forward. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Anyways, so let's rewind. Okay, Jackie. So let's rewind to a young Jackie. Did young Jackie have aspirations to get into real estate? Were parents in real estate? I mean, what did that look like?
No, young Jackie actually thought that I was planning on being a professional ballerina. And my major in college was dance with a concentration in choreography. So I have like the big creative brain. And so I would have never thought I would do something with all the legal intricacies that real estate presents. But I got started in real estate when I was 26, and my ex-husband and I at the time, we wanted to start building a portfolio of rental properties. And we started working with an agent who I don't think she properly understood. I don't think she worked with a lot of investors, so she didn't really know how to guide us. Mm-hmm. And we, being young and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to start investing in real estate, but having no clue what we're doing, I thought, well, we really need somebody who could guide us better. And instead, at the time, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I said, well, why don't I just go to real estate school? I'll learn. This way I can learn what we need to know. And when I went through real estate school, I just grabbed onto it. I fell in love with real estate. I fell in love with all the moving pieces that you've got to put together to properly build any proper transaction and all the things that you needed to know about it. So I decided, I think I'm going to do this for real. And the funny part of that story is that with my ex-husband, we got divorced shortly after. I never did have a rental portfolio. Fast forward to today, I'm very happily married, and my now husband and I do have a good portfolio. So
you're the spark notes of the story, right? Where you had a bad experience with one realtor and go, if that person can do it, I can do it. It's something that I don't think I've heard too many people say that, but I tell people that was always my theory of why we have so many realtors, because the bad ones basically spawn other ones to jump into the business. So that's funny that you actually said that.
That's a little bit true too, but the funny thing is it, there's another layer to that, is that the realtor who helped my ex-husband and I buy our very first home was phenomenal. And so when I decided to go to real estate school, because I had a bad experience with the realtor, I was actually inspired by our realtor, Brenda. Brenda was so good. And I went, well, I could go to real estate school and I can be more like Brenda. That was the thought process. So you're right. It was a little bit of a tale.
You had one bad experience. You had one bad experience, one bad one, and then one good experience.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's for sure. One agent to the next is totally different. Okay. So you got your license, you're practicing real estate, divorce happens. How did you sell a piece of business before the divorce happened? Or because that seems like a lot kind of going on all at once. What did that look like when you first got your license?
Well, when I first got my license, I had a toddler and an infant, and I ended up working with a lot of my friends that were my age who didn't have kids, but they were my friends. And so they would work around kind of my schedule when I can get sitters or whatever the case may be. And then as I started to kind of go and grow, I started to get referrals for a lot of single moms, which I find really ironic now. Fast forward, I was practicing real estate for 2 years before getting divorced, or I should say before getting separated. And so I thought it was really interesting that through the women that I was working with, these single moms, I learned a lot about what I needed to know about being a single mom when the time came. So, a little bit of providence there. But yeah, I did. I sold a few things before going through that period of time.
Now you're at the point where you're selling a couple deals. Are you making a living off of those deals, or is it still kind of mutually kind of surviving as a couple?
No. So my ex-husband, he was a professional, had a really good career. And so for me, I didn't need the money. It was that I wanted a career. I loved being a stay-at-home mom, but I needed a little more than that at the time. And I think, a lot of that probably went hand in hand with not a successful marriage. So, so I was selling real estate basically because this is what I wanted to do. I was getting started in it, that type of thing. And then when the separation was inevitable, I actually went to work for a Fortune 150 title company in their corporate offices.
So you left real estate at that time when you got divorced?
Well, I was still in real estate because I was in the real estate. Selling. No, I was not selling real estate at that time. And then I worked for them for a few years, and then I went back into real estate right before the big crash. So that was good. That was good timing.
The thing that always intrigues me is when people make the jump to commission-based or starting their own career, things like that. So you're working with them for 4 years. You've been separated for a little bit of time. What was the catalyst, or was there a catalyst that basically pushed you to get back into selling real estate?
Well, yeah, because my job first and foremost, my job started in the corporate offices, and then I went to the branch level. And because I could see the writing on the wall as the real estate was shifting, that my cushy corporate job was probably going to be on the chopping block. So to be more on the branch level was a smarter move at that time. But my job was to coach real estate agents and work with real estate agents to help them grow their book of business. So that they would have more business to bring into the title industry. And so honestly, just in everything that I was helping other agents do, I would see the ones that would do what I would coach them to do become really successful. Because I would work with a lot of new agents. And so I would see them getting their feet underneath them and becoming successful. And then I would witness other ones who just wouldn't do the work. And so it was a part of me saying, I have my license. I know this gig. I'm coaching other people to do it. I want to get back into it. So that was really what it came down to.
Was there a moment of time that you either were, maybe I didn't make the right decision, or either I know I made the right decision after you actually made the jump back into real estate?
Well, since I made the leap back into real estate right before everything came crashing down, I mean, I was back in sales full time, real estate sales full time, for about 9 months before the big stock market crash and all these things. And I actually had two things in escrow when the crash happened. Both of those fell out of escrow because of the stock market crash. And that left me like, oh man, what now? Mm-hmm. And so I was scrambling to get my background's in marketing and advertising. So I was trying to build that name for myself, put myself out there. At the same time, just, I don't know if you were in the business. Were you in the business back in 2008, 2007, 2008?
No, I got in the business 2010, I think. No.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it was like all of us in the industry were like, oh my gosh, what just happened? What do we do now? And so it was a crazy time to be in real estate. And so there was a piece of me right then. I wouldn't say that I regretted getting back into real estate full time. It was just, I had to duck and weave and do, you know, while I was still trying to build my business, I had to do some other things. So I used my marketing skills to help other small businesses with their marketing and things like that. So that was what kind of paid the bills temporarily, but honestly, not good enough, not well enough.
So you kind of, at that time, I know you're helping other people out, you're making some money there. Are you still at least putting the effort in, I guess, into real estate also, or is that on the back burner?
No, I'm definitely putting the effort into real estate. But like I said, I mean, back then it was really different. If you didn't know how to do short sales, you really couldn't make a living.
And did you have thoughts of like switching careers again and like getting something that more stable? I mean, what was going on through your head at that time?
Well, so I am stubborn. And so I would say I tried hanging in there longer than I probably should have. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I did finally say like, okay, I need to try to get my feet underneath me with something else. And I did end up working again, my background's in marketing and advertising. So I went back to work full time as a commercial photography rep. So now I'm doing that full time and still trying to kind of get my feet underneath me with real estate. But by the time I did that, it was already too late. I remember having to make the decision to either pay the mortgage or keep food on the table and the lights on and things like that. And so I can still remember the very difficult decision when I missed my first mortgage payment and just couldn't do it. So I ended up having to short sell my own house. Oh, and I did. I moved in with my parents for a little while with my two kids in tow and packed up all my stuff and my pride and off I went.
What was going, I mean, man, it's a big one right there. You had to short sell your property. You lost your house that you accumulated. I mean, you have your two kids, you moved back in your parents' house. What's going on in your head? Were you taking, I mean, cause I've had people in the low moments on this platform and doing this for, 4 years, 300 some episodes. And in the low moments, people either go, you know what, I'm going to fight against this, or they actually go, it's all my fault. And it takes them something else to actually like fight through the idea that it's all their fault. I mean, who were you? Were you blaming yourself or are you blaming other people? I mean, what was going on through your head?
I wasn't blaming anybody. I would say if there was anybody to blame, I blamed just the national circumstances. Okay. Of, you know, the state of things, the Great Recession was in full force. And so, you know, I still kind of laugh and I go, okay, so my main gig was real estate and my backup was advertising. Both of which are not really essentials in the end of the day, but you know what? I mean, I am so grateful for everything that did happen during that period of time. But I will say that I did the commercial advertising gig for maybe 8 or 9 months. And it was a great time. I got to represent one of my photographers. He won a gold Addy in the national Addies, which is kind of like winning an Oscar, you know, in the advertising industry. And so, I mean, it was great, but because people's budgets were slashed, it was a really hard thing for me to get my feet underneath me there either. So I thought, well, if I'm going to struggle, I'm going to struggle for my own purposes and not on someone else's behalf. And so that was when I started doing more of like the marketing for small businesses, went back to that, and ended up working with a couple of tech startups. And it was really during that transitional time that I ended up being down to my last $4. I mean, it was a pretty serious thing. You know, I move in with my parents, and I am a driven and successful person before all of this happened. Well, I'm still driven, and I still think of myself as successful, even though the bank account wasn't reflecting that. And so when I moved in with my parents, I thought it was just for a few months. I just need a few months, get back up on my feet. And it definitely, instead of getting better in those few months, got worse. And I remember the day I woke up and my bank account, I mean, I would obsessively check my bank accounts. And I had one that was at a flat zero, one that was overdrawn, and I had four single dollar bills in the wallet in my purse. And that was it. And that was the low point. For sure, that was the low point, because I'm going, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm at this point, I'm working 18 hours a day. I'm helping people with their marketing. But remember, Great Recession, they're also making decisions and saying, okay, I'm going to have to slow pay the marketing girl so that I can keep paying my payroll or keep the, you know, the electric on or whatever. So I had a couple of outstanding invoices that just, they weren't getting paid at the moment. And they were in a situation that I had to be patient. Anyway, you can't get blood out of a turnip. So it was a really difficult time. And I just remember waking up that morning and it was terrifying. And I thought, okay, I'm doing the work. I'm busting my tail. I'm doing everything I know. And yet here I am. And so that day I actually went to coffee with a referral partner from a BNI group. And he was also a friend or had become a friend through our networking efforts. And so we go to Starbucks for this meeting, and he had a potential referral for me. And I still remember walking into Starbucks and getting a water, because there's no way I'm spending my last $4 on coffee. and then sitting down with my friend and him going, okay, what gives? What's going on with you? And I couldn't hide it. And I'm a very, you know, kind of keep my cards close to my chest while I'm going through it. Once I'm through it and I can look back and see the lessons, then I'm okay with maybe opening up a little bit about it, but not while I'm going through it. So that was really tough. And I didn't tell him the entire story, but I did open up to him a little bit. And he actually, you know, helped me out a little bit right then and there, which was a lifeline. And I said, oh, thank you so much. And when these invoices get paid, I'll pay you back. And he told me, I don't want you to pay it back. I want you to pay it forward. So I've spent a lot of time in my life paying that forward.
If anyone's curious, BNI, it's a networking group. If you're curious about it a little more, check out the episode with Ivan Meisner. He was the founder of BNI. I had it about a month or maybe a couple months back. But anyways. So
that is impressive. I'm going to go back and listen to that. Ivan Meisner is really an inspirational guy.
Yeah, I think I say it right. Givers get. I think that's what it is. Right?
Givers gain.
Givers gain. That's what givers gain. There you go. Yep. Yeah. anyways, I'm always bad when it comes to remembering those kind of catchphrases. So anyway, all right, giver's gain. So yeah, so that had to be, I mean, at the moment, I guess you felt that he was gonna let you borrow the funds, right? Originally, or did he tell you, like, did you like think that he was gonna give you the money and you're gonna have to pay him back? Or even though he said that to keep it, give someone else, were you still think, I mean, what was going on here? Because that's, especially when you're deflated, sometimes you don't want that hand, but you need that hand.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is 100% the truth. So let me tell you, I'll expand on that just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I do tell the story in the $4 story, And so, you know, if you're curious, you can go to the$4story.com and download the audio and hear the whole thing. But basically my kids, because we had to move in with my parents, my kids had to switch schools, and their previous school was a private school with uniforms. Now they're going to public school, no uniforms. I mean, again, it's like money's tight. And they were starting school in less than a week. And my parents, like, they had done so much and gone above and beyond letting us live there. They helped buy their school supplies. But, you know, I don't come from a wealthy family. I come from a family who's, you know, who did okay enough that I could live with them and they could help a little bit, but it wasn't like this was just like unlimited funds and here's the credit card, go to town. So the stress that I was feeling in that moment was I wasn't sure if the invoices I had outlying were going to get paid in enough time for me to be able to buy my kids' school clothes. And so here they are going to go to a new school. And I'm like, oh my gosh, do I have to send them in like their ratty play clothes? And I mean, I'm just, and as a parent, like my gut was just on fire. Like even right now, I'm like, oh, the thought of that was so painful. And that was what I opened up and shared with him. So I shared with him that there's these invoices not getting paid, and I don't know if they're going to be paid in time to get the school closed for the kids. So it wasn't like he just reached into his wallet and willy-nilly handed me money. He handed me $300 and said, here, go buy your kids' school clothes. And that's when I said, okay, I'm going to pay you back. And he said, I don't want it. I want you to pay it forward. You know, and so it was actually really lovely. I took the kids shopping and we had enough left over to buy dollar ice cream cones at Baskin Robbins. And I still remember sitting with my kids eating the ice cream cones and then just thinking like this was the greatest thing because it had been a while since we've been able to do even anything as simple as that. So
where do you, I mean, if for people, I mean, I think everyone listening to this, right, they hear kind of even with the down moments, a level of confidence that you're kind of talking about, even in those down moments where, again, I mean, you would think people, I mean, in those situations, you might be a little more deflated, right? And with that level of confidence, where do you think it comes from?
Well, two things. Number one, I have a very strong faith in God. And I know that I know that he had a plan and a purpose for me. And so, and I know that I have certain talents and things that, I mean, here's the thing. I didn't get to where I was because I wasn't working hard. I didn't get to where I was because I decided to just sit on the couch and watch, you know, soap operas and eat bonbons because I felt so defeated. The more defeated I got, the harder I worked, the more I went, okay, what can I do? Who can I reach out to? I started a newsletter. I started a podcast before there was actually a thing called podcasts. It was called Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, there you go.
And so I started Blog Talk Radio show and I had a weekly newsletter. And I mean, like, I was making the calls. I've never been afraid of calling, cold calling, all of those kinds of things. But yeah, I mean, so I'm doing all the things that I know work. And so to have that happen, it was like, okay, I know I can make it. I know I have the skills and the talents necessary. Now, here's one thing. So, if, you know, I did get into my head. I'm not going to lie to you and say I was all just like, I got this. It's okay. No, I mean, I used to allow myself what was called a 30-minute breakdown. And for 30 minutes, I could cry. I could lay in my bed and feel just absolutely sorry for myself and just let all the garbage thoughts in my head out. And then, and I kid you not, I would set a timer for 30 minutes. And when that timer went off, I don't care how deep into my little pity party I was, that was it. You got up, you wiped off your eyes and your nose and all the things, you washed your face and you put a good face on and you move on. And so I allowed myself to feel things, but I didn't get bogged down in it. And I will say that the other thing that happened was I had another friend who went to a conference that I was going to go to, couldn't afford to go to. But when she was there, Les Brown was one of the speakers and he had a 6-CD set called Choosing Your Future. So she bought the CD set, Choosing Your Future. And she said, hey, listen, I didn't, you know, she's like, I'm going to let you borrow this. I feel like you need this right now. And at the time I had a 6 CD changer in my car. So, you know, it's a while ago, but I put all the 6 CDs and I just let them go on loop. So every time I was in my car, I'm listening to these life affirming words of Les Brown. And if you've never heard Choosing Your Future from Les Brown, I highly, highly recommend it. You can buy it on Audible. It's pretty amazing. So at any rate, so I had somebody help me with my actual physical need. And then I had somebody who poured into me with my mental needs at the time. And this really did help to help me keep my mindset right. And so I think the coolest part of that story is that Les Brown really did. His words reached in and helped me when I was down at the bottom of me. And then in 2021, I had the opportunity to get personally mentored by Les Brown. And working with him was phenomenal. And it was also part of what made me say, okay, I need to tell my story now. So I need to reach into someone else and maybe help them through what I went through.
I mean, for people listening, there's going to be someone or individual out there or a video out there that's going to resonate with you. I mean, in those low moments, whatever that is or whoever that is, right? Put it on rewind, play that over and over. I mean, there was times in one of the low moments, and there was a video that I watched probably about like 35 times, like on YouTube. I just watched it over and over. And it was just one of the things. I mean, it's so it could be Les Brown, it could be someone else, but yeah. Definitely. If they resonate with you, take it all day long.
And you have to be so careful. One of the things that Les would tell us is always watch what you're listening to. And his quote is, because what you tune into, you turn into. Yeah. So if you are only tuning into negative news stories or even just scrolling TikTok and watching these people who are really angry about the world, you're going to turn into somebody who's really angry about the world. So I might be preaching to the choir, because if you're listening to Vinny's podcast, Road to Growth, you probably like to tune into things that are going to lift you up and help you get somewhere better. But just keep that up. Keep going. Keep listening to podcasts like this that can help and not just aren't there just for entertainment value to, you know, maybe make you angry or fearful or all those things that right now are what sells the clicks.
Yeah. I mean, I catch myself. I watch the news. I try not to watch the news at all. But if my wife puts it on the TV and I start watching, I'm like, I'll catch myself. Like, what the? Oh my God. I cannot believe that's happening over there. And then I go, what am I doing to myself? Okay. Just walk away. So yeah. So Jackie, if we were talking, let's say, and I know we haven't got your full story, and people go in the show notes, go get her book at the Audible. Is it Audible too, or is it just a book, or is it both yet?
So the book is Ignite the Hunger in You. And I co-wrote that with Les Brown. Okay. And that's where I tell the $4 story in the book, but I also have just a free audio download, and it's the $4 story also paired with 7 things that I learned during that time that helped me connect to my higher purpose. And so I share those 7 things in that audio download as well. So you just go to the $4story.com and you can get that.
Perfect. And I know we haven't gotten into your coaching, anything like that. And we're going to jump into the future. Okay. If we're talking in 5 years from now, where do you see Jackie? Where do you see your real estate business? Where do you see your coaching business? More books? What's the plan, Jackie?
More books for sure. Also, I really want to focus more on the coaching. I love selling real estate. I've been doing it now for in Northern Arizona since 2014, so 10 years. And I've been in this industry for 22 years and I love it. But as much as I love helping clients, I really do have a passion for helping real estate agents get a good handle on their business. And the reason being is I've lived both sides of this coin. I've lived the side of the coin that was on the commission roller coaster, that didn't know how to really get a successful book of business. Like I mentioned, when I first started in real estate, it wasn't something I had to do. It was something I wanted to do. And so I was definitely like, oh, look, I got some money and I can do some things. And, you know, but like I said, it wasn't like I needed the money at that time. Mm-hmm. you know, had I known what was coming down the pike, maybe I would have worked a little harder at that time. But I've done all of that. And so when when my husband and I, my now husband and I, moved to Flagstaff full time, I knew like three people and two of them were in real estate. So I said, you know what, this is it. I'm going full force into real estate. And one of two things is going to happen. At this point, I'm coaching real estate agents again. I'm back into that aspect. So I went, you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Either I'm going to do what I coach and prove that it works, or I'm going to do what I coach and I'm going to prove I don't know what I'm talking about and I better figure something else out. Do something else for a living. This isn't the right thing. And the good news is I really did. I hit the ground running, and my first 12 months up in the Flagstaff area, I sold $7 million. Which, you know, in a price point and at a time where the median price point was just over 300,000, that's not too shabby. Mm-hmm. And especially not knowing anybody. So that's a full-time living. And then moving forward every year, just continued to grow, until I put together the team. And once the team got pretty successful, I brought on a business partner in, 2019. And we've been top 1% of Realty One Group nationwide for the last 5 years running. So, you know, I that's why I'm like, okay, I've proved it works. I know what works and I know what doesn't. So yeah, I have a passion for that, for agents.
That's awesome. If an agent's listening, if a buyer, seller, if someone in the real estate sector, I guess, is listening and they're looking to get more information about you, Jackie, what's the best way of them getting more information?
You know, the best way to really just connect with me is to go to stepstostrength.com. That is going to have all the links. So if you want to connect with me as a realtor, yay. If you want to connect with me as a coach, yay. If you want to connect with the YouTube channel that my husband and I do together, you'll find it all.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I'm going to finish off with one last question. Besides the roller coaster that you kind of talked about that some realtors go through, what would you say is the biggest hiccup, misconception of them building out their plan that most realtors do?
I think the biggest miss that most realtors do is they don't pay enough attention to their database. And they try too hard to figure out how, I'm going to put myself out there on social media and I'm going to buy internet leads and I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to sit open houses. And it's like they would rather meet a total stranger and try to convince that total stranger to work with them as a real estate agent than to work with the people who already know, like, and trust you and work with those people. Because it's easier to do when you're doing your business by relationship. So that's really what the coaching that I do really focuses in on, getting your head on right. We dig into your why, then we dig into your systems, and then we dig into your database.
Well, again, thank you, Jackie, so much for being on the platform. If anyone's listening, looking to get more information about Jackie, the realtor looking to get some coaching, looking to buy or sell in Flagstaff, Arizona, give Jackie a call. And if you need any help in San Diego, California, I would love to help you out. Thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe, please share, and please, please go on the show notes and go find Jackie. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.theenriquezgroup.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. The Enriquez Group, signing off.
Did you know that music can uplift your mood? Melody Clouds gives you a large selection of binaural beats, solfeggio, guided meditation, and nature sounds. All are designed to elevate and focus your mood. Start enjoying more than 17,000 audiobooks and 300,000 files of rich audio entertainment today. Subscriptions start at $5.99.